I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. In a moment, African-American author L.A. Banks penned tales about werewolves and vampires long before Twilight and True Blood. She recently passed away and will have a remembrance. That's in just a few minutes. But first, we look at the business of books as Borders announces the closing of its last remaining stores. The company once had more than 1,000 busy locations, but Borders said it couldn't survive the struggling economy, online book sales, and the e-readers. So we wonder what this means for the future. We've brought together a book business roundtable. Joining us is Carl Howe. He's director of consumer research with the Yankee Group, a technology market research firm based in Boston. Also with us is Laureen Roy, currently a professor with the University of Texas at Austin. She's also a former president of the American Library Association and the American Indian Library Association. And here in our studios in Washington, D.C. is Bradley Graham. He's the new owner of the famous bookstore Politics and Prose in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for joining us and welcome all.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
I want to start with kind of the same question for all of you. And Carl, I'd like to ask you first. Are books still going to be here in 20 years?
I think books have been with us for 400 years, and I think in 20 years we're still going to have books. They're not going away anytime soon.
Laureen, let me ask you the same question. If books are going to be here, then libraries are also going to be around, right? But different?
Well, libraries have continued to change over time, and they continue to serve essential purposes. They are not anachronisms. They're strong, vital, and important to many people's lives.
Bradley, you just bought a bookstore, so it seems obvious that you believe there will be books here in the future. But why do you think so?
I think certainly in the case of Politics and Prose, our store, that the place serves a larger purpose than just selling books. It's become a community institution, a kind of watering hole for a lot of people in the Washington area. And we think that there's still a very important role to be played in that way.
Let's talk about ebooks for a few minutes. Carl, how big is this industry?
This has really been an extraordinary growth industry. Only a couple years ago, there really wasn't an ebook business. Look back to 2008, and the sales of ebooks were basically less than $200 million. This year, 2011, we're projecting about $1.4 billion in ebook sales, and they're growing at about 72% per year.
And who's buying these ebooks? Is it African Americans, women, male or female?
Well, currently, about 15% of Americans own an ebook reader. And amazingly enough, it's not necessarily a standard breakdown. The highest percentage is actually by people who identify themselves as being from two or more races. Asian Americans and whites are certainly high. And then it's kind of all over the map from then on in.
Bradley, what made you think in this economy, I want to own a bookstore?
Well, it wasn't just owning any bookstore. It was particularly owning Politics and Prose because it does have a tremendous standing in the community.
And let me stop you and just to explain to people that don't live in Washington, D.C., tell us a little bit about the store.
The store was founded 27 years ago by Carla Cohen and Barbara Mead as a very small store in Northwest Washington. It was conceived as also a kind of marketplace of ideas, a place for discussion of many issues. I mean, that's why you have the name Politics in the title, Politics and Prose.
And as a true journalist, you did a little research before you bought the store. What'd you find out?
I traveled around the country. I talked to a number of other bookstore owners. I was very curious to hear what it was that had allowed them to survive. And the most common thread, it was this community rootedness that they all have. They all serve an important purpose in their local communities. And that's what has kept them going and what I think will keep them in Politics and Prose going.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, and we're talking about the evolution of the book business. Our guests are consumer researcher Carl Howe, bookstore owner Bradley Graham, and professor and librarian Laureen Roy. Carl, based on your research, how is the hard book business thriving? I am still that girl that's carrying around the, you know, 5-pound book in my purse places, but most of the other people I see seem to have Kindles or other kinds of e-readers.
Well, I think it's really a very mixed market. And the place I'd point you to as an analogy is actually the music market, which, of course, we went from LPs to CDs to downloads. Nowadays, you're actually seeing LPs, they're actually bundled with digital media. I think you're going to see a similar thing take place in the book business, where we're seeing new forms of books, those that can be used on e-readers, and those are important. But the hard, you know, standard paper book that you think about is still very much alive and well.
Lorraine, I'm curious about the role of the library in all of this. As you said, there are still going to be libraries, but how are libraries handling the e-book business?
Well, first of all, people are visiting libraries. 65% did visit last year, and 58% of Americans have a library card. But turning to e-books, e-books have a strong presence in libraries, academic libraries at colleges and universities. Almost all of them offer e-books. Two-thirds of public libraries do, and a third of school libraries. Circulation of the e-books is small but growing, and so what American librarians are concerned about is equitable access, making sure that people who don't have an e-reader have access to content. And then we're concerned about digital formats and whether or not content is only available digitally and whether that excludes certain people. And also issues of diversity in terms of people who are perhaps not able to read digital format because of physical differences.
I'm interested that you said diversity because on the list of some of the companies, there doesn't seem to be a huge number of authors of color. And I guess I've looked mostly through the free books that are available, like many of the other people I know. But I wonder, Lorraine, how does the library offset that?
I think this points to the difference of collections within library settings. Bookstores are great partners, and they have the material that can be purchased presently, but libraries collect over time. So you're going to have a wider range of material, and libraries collect according to policies, selection policies, so they're attentive to the nature of their reading audience.
Bradley, let me come back to the bookstore for a moment. I'm sure you have e-books at your stores. I'm wondering which thing is more popular, your hardcovers or your digital e-books?
Well, physical books are still far more popular, but we recognize certainly that people are moving to these e-book platforms, and we're going to help them. And we want to encourage people that if they do want to download a book, to do so through our website. Because now you can, through many, many independent bookstores, download your e-books. And when you do it that way, the independent bookstore gets a share of the funds. I want to make one other point about the importance of independent bookstores. Because whether people are reading physical books or they're moving to electronic books, they're still going to need help in deciding what to read. They're going to want help. If you go to Amazon, they have an analog that says, you know, if you like this, then you may like that. We actually have human beings who give that advice to people.
There's a concept. Carl, let me ask you, how are publishers going to keep putting out books and making a profit if ebooks cost so much less?
Well, it's just good business to be able to embrace a format that's cheaper to produce. I don't have to go out and buy paper. I don't have to do a lot of the inventory. I don't have to have warehouses to store e-books. There's a lot that publishers really like about the e-book business. What publishers don't like is the fact that, well, they can't really reduce the author's royalties because the author sold a book and therefore wants to be paid per book. And at the same time, prices for e-books are lower. So what happens is that even though their costs are lower, the publisher gets squeezed a bit in the middle. And the topic we started off the program with, you know, what caused Borders to fail, was in fact running into this buzzsaw of the new digital business models. They chose to build a lot of physical stores just at the time that Amazon became ascendant and a variety of ebook formats showed up. So they kind of bet on the wrong horse and have paid the price.
But briefly, Carl, in the time we have left, the ebook revolution has been a bit of a boon for authors because they're making a higher percentage of royalties from their books, are they not?
Absolutely. There are independent authors. One of the best known is Amanda Hawking, who have actually made millions from selling their stories directly on Amazon and selling for $3, and they make more money than they would going through a traditional publisher.
So we have this huge revolution out here. We've got all these different kinds of formats where people can read books on different devices or in their hands. But Bradley, are people still coming into your store and buying actual hardcover books that you can pick up and have some heft to them?
They are, and we actually have not seen any fall off in sales this year over last year. We expect we might, but one of the interesting things is that people seem to be reading more, not less, overall.
Lorraine, are you finding the same thing? This at least means people are reading more than they were.
Yes, people are going to libraries, and not just for reading, but for the range of services that libraries offer, from public access computing to programming and the reader's advisory that you might get in a bookstore. Well, public libraries offer superb reader's advisory service as well.
Lorraine Roy is a professor with the University of Texas at Austin. She's also a former president of the American Library Association and the American Indian Library Association. She joined us from NPR member station KUT in Austin. Carl Howe is director of consumer research with the Yankee Group and joined us from member station WBUR in Boston. Bradley Graham is owner of Politics and Prose Bookstore in Washington, D.C. and joined me right here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you all for your time and an interesting discussion. And let's keep reading out there.
Thank you, Allison.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.